Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's bring in Paul Emig, shall we?
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Green and gold analyst Paul Emig is brought to you by Sprinkler Fitters Local 183, protecting life and property in Wisconsin since 1906. For career opportunities, go to sprinklerfitters183.org.
Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Paul, how are you doing on this Friday?
Bill, doing great, man. It's championship weekend. Let's go.
So let me ask you this. We were saying a little bit earlier in the show, for the Green Bay Packers to win, this has to happen. What would it be?
Protect Aaron Rodgers. Block really well up front in general. I think that the Packers' offensive front got manhandled when these two teams met about 7 weeks ago. That clearly cannot happen. I think when you see really, really good players on the outer edges like Bakhtiari and Bulaga get destroyed the way they did on that particular day, it's eye-opening because that just does not happen regularly. I mean, you would be challenged to find more than a handful, if there even is a handful, of better left-right tackle duos than Bakhtiari and Bulaga. And it really did not look like it on that particular day. So we all know that this is an Aaron Rodgers legacy game. He needs to get to, if not win, another Super Bowl for him. He knows that. Like, if you're talking about legacy stuff, but there's nothing that he can do about it on Sunday if he's not locked well. This has been an Aaron Jones breakout season. There's nothing that Aaron Jones could do about it if the guys up front are getting manhandled. There's nothing that those guys can do. And if Rodgers can't get rid of the ball, and if Aaron Jones can't get going, then the other most important playmaker, Davante Adams, has no chance to have an impact. So for me, Bill, when you ask the question the way you did, the first thing that comes to mind is for that offensive line to turn it an A-plus performance rather than, I think, the D-minus-F performance they had 7 weeks ago in San Francisco.
Hey, Paul, one of the things that I look at, and I agree with you, you got to keep Aaron Rodgers upright. But I think you stop the run game, you really have an outstanding chance of winning this ball game. I know everybody talks about the offense and Aaron Rodgers playing above and beyond and being Superman again, but the more I sat down and started to analyze this, specifically after what they did last week to the Minnesota Vikings, I think if you stop the run game, you got a really good shot at winning this game.
Yeah, it's just so interesting, right? Because San Francisco doesn't have, that guy in the backfield, right? If this was prep for Vikings, we'd be saying Dalvin Cook. We'd be saying Dalvin Cook. But the 49ers have really swapped between three featured running backs throughout the season. And all of them are, good, but there's not that breakout guy. But I think what I'm so impressed with when I watch Shanahan run a game offensively is there's a balance to it. There's so much happening pre-snap that it almost feels like, Bill, I feel like when I watch most NFL teams get a 3-yard gain on first down or a 2-yard gain on first, or they run it on second and 10 and they gain 3, that there's almost like a level of, well, that didn't work, let's trash it. I have noticed, just from my own, my own eyes, I haven't read about this, it just has felt like as I watch Shanahan run the show, that that's fine with him. It's a very, disciplined approach to their running game, that it's not like he's going to get discouraged if things don't happen immediately or if there's not a breakout run. I think back to week 2 when Dalvin Cook went for a 76-yard touchdown or whatever it was. It's not like I'm expecting that from San Francisco's running game, but what they can do, at least from my own observation, is wear you out. If they can stay on the field long enough and they stay consistent, to the run and keep plugging away, that's where I kind of feel they're dangerous. It's almost like that disciplined approach that their head coach and play caller has. And I'm very curious to see, again, and that's why, as you and I mentioned earlier this week, the whole early lead thing and the whole defer or receive thing if you get that option is because it's, I mean, as disciplined and as good of a head coach and a play caller as you can be, that becomes a lot more difficult to do if you get down. It becomes a lot more on the quarterback if all of a sudden that quarterback is facing a 7 or 10 point early deficit, you know, and so you just kind of wonder how much game plans change if that were to happen. So, you know, I'm with you on that, Bill, but honestly what I'm curious about more than anything with San Francisco's running game is, you know, if it's just a 3-yard clip and a 2-yard clip and a 4-yard clip, because, you know, it's like the breakout runs, if they start to happen, if those start to be added up, the game's probably over. Because I don't think Green Bay can be giving up big gashes on a ground game and then still try to compete through the air. I think it's one kind of creates the other, or, you know, or moves into the other, if you know what I mean.
So the secondary, we talked about this the other day. Richard Sherman talks about how good he is and the plays that he's made in the postseason and good players step up. And I agree with all of that. But yeah. I'm listening to one of the national podcasts when I was riding in this morning, and they said, well, you can't throw Richard Sherman. You got to go in the other direction. And my thought is you got to keep him honest. It's like a run game. Even if you're going to pass the ball and that's what your game is, you still have to run it to keep him honest. I think you still have to throw in that direction, right?
Well, I have a couple things to that. One, Pro Football Focus, their number one corner in the league in 2019 was Richard Sherman, the top-rated Pro Football Focus corner in the entire league. It's 31-year-old, forgotten by some. He's his own agent, Richard Sherman. You know, and that is when he was a free agent. You know, and I remember, you know, talking about this with you and Joe. At the time, you know, Packers, should they step in? I was like, yeah, you know, he's probably, his best years are probably behind him. And he's still rocking out there, which is, you know, really hard to do as a 31-year-old in the league, especially in being such a passing league that it's become, and Richard Sherman being a more physical corner. So that's number one. It's like, let's not, you know, and I know you're not, Bill, but let's make sure Packers fans aren't just thinking, well, this guy is old and washed up. And he's the top-rated corner in the whole NFL. That's crazy impressive. And then number two to that is, Richard Sherman typically plays just one side of the field. He's not usually a shadow the top wide receiver guy. So if Richard Sherman's going to hang out on the left side, which he usually does, you know, does Matt LaFleur say, oh, cool, have fun guarding Geronimo Allison because I'm going to go send Devontae Adams the other way, you know, and just kind of do it that way. So, does San Francisco say, you know what, Richard Sherman, this is an NFC Championship game. We know how badly you want to get back to a Super Bowl. How do you feel about just shadowing the whole game with Devontae Adams? I mean, personally, like, it almost seems too simple and too obvious to, if you're Matt LaFleur, to say, you know, that first drive is going to probably be the guinea pig for it, the trial to see which side Sherman lines up on or if he's with Devontae Adams exclusively or not. Because, man, if it's as simple as, hey, Sherman's going to play the left side, I'm just going to just, fine, you know, go cover Geronimo Allison and go cover Alan Lazard, and I'm going to send Devontae Adams on the other side and, you know, see what he can do on his matchups. Even if that means that, you know, Adams is always going to have a safety help over the top and pretty much is trying to get open 2-on-1, I would still take those chances. So there's a really big, interesting early game cat and mouse thing there to watch with where Sherman lines up and then how, of course, LaFleur reacts to that.
Wanted to ask you now, I want to go back to the other side of the ball. You talked about Aaron Rodgers, but to me, I think it's 20 to 22 touches for Aaron Jones makes you feel as if this game is not necessarily in hand, but it's not, the game plan has not gotten away from the Green Bay Packers. Do you think so?
Oh, yeah, totally, yes. I mean, the touches for Aaron Jones, and I say touches because he's a great receiving running back, you know? He's not like a guy where it's like, well, he only had 13 carries. Well, okay, 13 carries isn't a good number per se, but was that accompanied by 10 targets in the passing game? If so, you know, mission accomplished. But yes, if it does become a situation where they are able to take, where San Francisco is able to take Aaron Jones away, either because of, you know, just early disruption, and that's why, like, you know, Elton Jenkins, your guest tonight on the Huddle, Billy Turner, Lindsley, like, in the middle, like, if they can keep things secure, then there's going to be a lot more confidence from Matt LaFleur to run it. And not just run it outside, but to run it down the middle, where Aaron Jones has a lot of that patience and ability to, you know, to find the cutbacks. But if there's just a ton of immediate burst up the middle, like, there's, again, it's kind of like I said earlier, there's nothing that a you know, even an elite running back could do about the guys that are, you know, on him before, you know, before he's even having the ball in his hand. So, you know, Bill, I always think that in these games against tight teams as the season is going, like, it's one thing against Washington, against the New York Giants, and teams that just aren't very good. Like, the Aaron Jones touches aren't, like, a huge factor of whether or not the Packers are winning or losing or playing well. But against good teams, which obviously we're talking about here in San Francisco, I do think the Aaron Jones touches is a huge product of how close the game is or how dedicated to the game plan Matt LaFleur has been. Because, again, Jimmy Graham stepped up last week. Geronimo Allison had a really big catch last week. But for the most part, San Francisco's probably content with letting Geronimo Allison or Avaldez Scantling or even an Alan Lazard or Jimmy Graham beat them. What they probably are more focused on taking away, I assume, is let's not let Aaron Jones and Davante Adams beat us. So that's, yeah, I'm with you. I'm always tracking the Aaron Jones total touches because I think it has a lot to do with the way the game is flowing.
Matt LaFleur in his first contest, now he's been very steady Eddie. He's at the podium at least. He's been very calm, very cool, very collected. I can't imagine if he's like a duck, you know, where everything looks good on the surface and he's going like crazy below the surface. But it seems like if he's handling the moment pretty well.
Oh yeah, for sure. That's, I think what a lot of players, and you know, you've had plenty of conversations with them throughout the years when you've learned this too, Bill, is like, they are, you know, subtly watching mannerisms and consistency from their leaders, whether that be the quarterback or, in this case, the new leader on the defense, Za'Darius Smith, but especially from their head coach, is they are looking for consistency. If you're Darnell Savage and you're about to probably play every single snap in an NFC Championship game, and 9 months ago, you know, you were, you know, a draft pick hopeful, and you're a younger player without playoff experience, or you're a rookie, or this is like Elgton Jenkins, man, he's about to be thrown into the fire on the road, and this is a huge test for a guy that didn't give up a single sack in the passing game all year as a rookie second-round pick. You know, if you're starting to watch your leaders, and like you had said with LaFleur, if they are keeping the same approach, it's a lot easier for players to keep the same approach. And they really, Bill, they've said it to the users, like, these are the things that they look for, you know, is if all of a sudden it kind of feels like Matt LaFleur is making this a big deal and everything like that, then they're going to probably start to be a little bit more likely to let the human emotion of the moment creep in. And so I agree with you. LaFleur is totally a steady presence. And I think that when you have a situation throughout the year where these guys are having, excuse me, I'm so sick, when these guys are having throughout the year where they have veteran rest days, they have a fully healthy practice roster on a Thursday in mid-January. Like, it's not unprecedented, but if you look at recent Packers history or Packers history under Mike McCarthy, this team is so healthy. They're so put together. They're so on the same page. I don't know if they're so talented. It's probably not a super-duper, all-things-considered, all-time great talent Packers roster, but they're healthy. And it feels like a team that's very together. And I think, even though I do believe on paper they are overmatched from a talent perspective, top to bottom against San Francisco, I just think the health of the roster and the togetherness of the roster are definitely the key things for me that I think could create an upset on Sunday night.
Paul, good stuff. We will chat again on Monday after it's all said and done and dust is cleared.
Can't wait to see it.
Enjoy the weekend, Paul. We'll talk to you soon.
You too, Bill.
There you go. Green and Gold analyst Paul Emig joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider, hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years. They begin to get done. Call them 844-PRIDE. Go to schneiderjobs.com.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no. I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.